Yo, this is Daddy-O from the original hip-hop band Stetsasonic, and you listening to the Hip-Hop Digest. And if you got anything wrong to say, keep it to yourself, because we might be outside your window.
Certain people, they may feel this is the right direction, because if they want to get a piece of it, you know, and get out, because that's what a lot of the newer dudes is taught. Like, yo, your time is so short, you need to get what you can get, you know. Get that hit record, you get your face on a cereal box, get that movie part, and get out, 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 and get out.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ Ken Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And of course, it's E Color, who is on a super high from last week, having lost the wallet, but the next day being returned that same wallet. Beautiful thing, y'all, and I appreciate the gentleman who did that.
Okay.
Wow, man, you tell me you lost it and then got it back the next day.
Got it back the next day.
Is everything in
day,
there?
everything but the cash, but I don't care.
Oh, that's
I already said I don't care about the cash. Yes, I just need it.
You have to deal with all the headache of replacing driver's license and all that shit.
Right. Exactly. That part right there.
All right. It sounds like you got some good karma in there, son.
I must. And I'll pay it forward as well.
Indeed. So on that note, let's get right in, gentlemen. Happy recording day, by the way. First topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Guru. Happy birthday to Gangstar's Guru. Today, as of recording day, Guru would have turned 59 years old. Born Keith Elam in Roxbury, Massachusetts in 1961, Guru founded the Gangstar Foundation in 1987. And then connected with the Texas-born beatmaker DJ Premier. But I caution you, because those of us who are scholars know that Gangstar's first two 12-inches were produced by Mark the 45 King. Ding! So just watch yourself there, you know. But anyway, obviously Primo, after that whole situation, the No More Mr. Nice Guy LP came, and then the rest was, as they say, hip-hop history. Guru by himself obviously had his whole Jazzmatazz series going on, recording with Roy Ayers and Donald Byrd and Branford Marcellus and Chaka Khan, etc., etc. All kinds of musical legends. Unfortunately, in 2010, Guru, who fell ill and ultimately passed away from multiple myeloma. Again, we say happy birthday and we salute you and your legacy, Guru from Gangstar. Any thoughts on the great, and I do mean great, Guru?
Well, as you know, here I have the autographed promo picture of them from that period.
Yes, you
and,
do.
The memory of being at WPGC, interning up there, and them coming through, me just shocked, like, what the fuck? And everybody's like, who is that? I was like, are you crazy? So that was a moment that I realized they were very amazing, and they were going to be reckoned with, yo. Mm. All those people knew who they were shortly after that.
No doubt. For me, you know, no huge stories. Their performance at the House of Blues tour was a crazy big memory for me, because they started all the ruckus on that concert stage.
yeah, they did.
Just seeing a premiere at a club in D.C. just hanging dolo and just walking up to him and giving him a pound just like a regular cat. You know what I'm saying? And that's Primo anyway. So that was very, very cool. You know what I'm saying? For me, the music, multiple albums, part of my life soundtrack as far as that goes. You know what I mean?
For me, I only stories I have about them is just musically only, as far as CDs and 12 inches and stuff like that. That's all I got. Just the memory of just the music that they made.
Indeed. So no doubt. Despite the unfortunate, I mean, obviously the unfortunate ending, but one of the more solid legacies. I mean, you talk about, you know, hip hop, you got a lot of this in hip hop. You got like the first album, then maybe the second album will fall off, and then maybe they get the third and fourth, and then they're gone. You know, Gangstar, what a solid legacy. I mean, from album to album, there may be albums that you didn't like better than the others. I mean, you know, you got Moment of Truth that's, you know, crazy, but still from album to album, boy, I don't know, boy. I put Gangstar. I don't know. Do I gotta say it?
Put that $1 million.
I was gonna say, do I gotta say it? I ain't wanna put $1 million on that, you know what I mean?
I'm like, this nigga over here, Bill Gates. He be throwing $1 million around like it ain't shit.
No, I'm just saying. Look at what I'm talking about, yo. I'm just saying, I mean, you got Step Into the Arena, Moment of Truth, Daily Operation, The Owners. I mean, none of those albums are exactly whack.
No, not at all.
You know what I mean? Even The Great Public Enemy. I remember when they put out Music in Our Message. Swerve, you was dissing.
Yes, I was.
You was dissing.
And still will.
Still don't catch any breaks.
You know
yeah,
what
there
mean?
Are certain records, even our man Common, that's our man, but yeah, I still,
Electric
maybe
Circus.
When I'm 70, I'll peep Electric Circus and feel different about it. I don't know.
But you were dissing Electric Circus.
Yep, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm not going, it's just my opinion. That's all it is, but...
Yo, Wu-Tang Clan A Better Tomorrow was whack.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So, I'm just, you know.
You almost got caught out there, though.
Did I?
What it was like one track that they had put off, and I think you was feeling that joint.
At that point, album. I was rooting, I mean, but ultimately the lazy effort was just, I couldn't.
So you know
that's why they offered that one copy of the album for so much money.
No, I don't think that was A Better Tomorrow. I think that was something
else.
No,
that's why they ended up doing that. Because that one album was whack.
It could be. I don't know. But yes. So indeed. So anyway, like I said, happy birthday to Guru. You know what I'm saying? You know, this is hip hop. What can I say? You know what I mean? All right. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is. Streaming sales and data shows that commercial rap obviously is the big seller of the first half of 2020. Despite the pandemic, Nielsen Music has released their mid-20-year report, and which evaluates the music, and Nielsen says that commercial rap proved to be America's biggest and most influential and money-making genre. Out of the top 10 most streamed artists, commercial rap consists of Blackface, Lil Uzi, NBA Youngin, Eminem, a couple of Babies, and a few Lils, as well as somebody by the name of Roddy Ricch, all made it out the top 10 at commercial money, sales, and streaming, etc., etc., etc. There's one name.
About that Roddy Ricch, son?
Unfortunately, I do not.
I'm trying to pull a stick out the box.
I'm going to let you tell me about that. Okay. So, but he's on the well-paid and well-to-do list of commercial rap. So, he's doing all right, B. He's not missing any meals. There's one name that is not on the list, and the crux of the topic is not for us to talk about these paid cats. So what? What is not on the list is your boy 6ix9ine. Okay. 6ix9ine has put a reasonable argument to say that Billboard and the rest of the streaming services, YouTube, etc., etc., are in cahoots. Okay. And in conspiring against him. Now, I'm not saying he's off that Trump. He could be. He is quite a delusional young man. Okay? But in an article titled in an article titled How Billboard Comes to Its Calculations with its Hot 100 Results. Billboard goes into a whole long dissertation about how they count and what they count. And I was surprised to learn that Billboard, how do they know what IP address clicks on what? Because they talk about we don't click or we don't count foreign clicks. Now you got this motherfucker, this gooba nigga, at 500 million streams or whatever. That's just YouTube. I don't know what he did on the other platforms. And he's saying, why ain't on the list? How come I ain't on the list?
Did you call that nigga Goobobby?
That's the name of his record, ain't it?
Yes, I think so. No fucks given.
Wait a minute, hold up, wait a minute. G, let me spell it then. What's the name of the record?
No, you
hold
got
up.
It. You got
G-O-O-B-A. Yeah, what's that?
Yeah, but you call this Gooba nigga. You didn't call him by his name, son.
All right, well, I mean, it doesn't matter, yo. I'm just, you know, I mean, okay. Well, Mr. Hernandez, how about that? Okay. Mr. Hernandez has an issue with that. And he also is alleging that most, if not all, of this shit is smokescreen. And that your favorite guy or gal, okay, this is fraudulent. And this is fraudulent by the fact that since he got out of jail, his cut Gooba and the other cut with Nicki Minaj trolls, you know, I guess there got to be upwards of a billion streams combined. And how come his name's not on that list? Swerve, you used to work down at the RIAA. Can you please give us some insight? And is Mr. Hernandez, come on, B, may have some credibility here. I'm rooting for him. Let's go.
Go 6ix9ine.
Go.
Y'all crazy, boy. But I mean, you know, there's some validity in what he's saying. But we have said that all along. We've been saying that as far as you know, what do we always talk about? Michael Jackson, right? The greatest ever, right?
Okay.
I am I don't know if anybody else will ever be able to be like that, but I'm talking about globally. But for whatever reason, that dude, Gooba nigga, he has a grip on the attention of people, yo. What I'm saying, I know you're rooting for him. And by what he's saying having some validity, it could open up some eyes and bring in some more discussions.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not necessarily in, you know, I may be rooting for him. I don't necessarily want to be talking about that cat like that. I mean, I think he's a horrible talent. I mean, okay, you know.
Of course. He's a troll. He's the greatest troll ever.
Okay, and that's fine. I mean, that's not a problem. But I'm just saying, the validity of the record industry. Now, look, back in the dinosaur days when you actually had to sell records, I mean, of course, we know about, obviously, Birdman and them Cash Money buying the inventory.
It's fucking smart, though.
You know what I'm saying? We know about that. And that has been done out throughout history on a lot of different levels. You know what I'm saying? I mean, at least as far as commercial rap goes, you know, Birdman and them, it was worth to them to buy the inventory.
It makes the first week numbers look good.
Right, because that's what it was all about. And largely, commercial rap has not matured past the first week numbers here, okay? I'm just saying that Mr. Hernandez, Mr. Gooba himself is saying, how can I post up a billion streams? If it had been any of these other cats, everybody would have been praising him as the next guy. Okay? But I'm getting railroaded. I'm getting ramrodded here. Okay. So, and geez, real talk, G. Are we really gonna hold the snitching as the standard here?
It's not the standard. It's not even the reason why he's not getting it.
Oh, really?
I think it goes just a little tad bit, not even deeper, but it, just simpler than that. It's all about the money. Who is this nigga signed to?
Oh, I have no clue what his label situation is.
Because I'm like, these niggas ain't eating off of him. Then why would they want to count this nigga?
Okay, you got a good point there. I will see if I can find some information on a future show about his label situation. Shout to the conspiracy brother.
All right. I'm just saying, it's follow the money, my nigga.
That ain't no conspiracy there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Indeed, no doubt. All right, well, let's keep it rocking. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is why everyone's maybe taking their eye off the ball. Not your boy, Hov. Jay-Z files a lawsuit over prison conditions in Mississippi. Okay, the rapper has teamed up with Yo Gotti and Team Rock on behalf of 227 inmates at Parchman Prison. The complaint goes on to allege that Parchman Prison has been understaffed and underfunded for decades, which has resulted in inadequate health care, physical and mental, overuse of isolation, and constant violence. The lawsuit also cites that hygiene issues with Parchman Prison, including portable water systems contaminated with everything under the sun, the presence of black mold, of vermin, and inmates limited access to showers.
Damn.
Yeah. Hove on it. Who's gonna be mad?
Who gonna have something bad to say? Not me.
Well, I'm just
we ain't gonna have shit bad to say. We appreciate Hov for actually going in and attacking such a thing, because most people, when they think about prison, be dead ass, they say, well, fuck them. Niggas went to prison, you deserve what you get. I don't give a fuck if y'all never get a shower. I don't give a fuck if y'all never get to go outside. I don't give a fuck if y'all niggas beat each other up all day. Y'all fuck each other all day. Y'all can do whatever the fuck y'all want in there. Fuck y'all niggas. Y'all in prison.
Mm.
So let me say to you, you know how that time of year in November, we always talk about niggas passing out turkeys and shit.
Okay.
And you know I don't give that no play. Right? This shit Jay-Z doing is the exact fucking opposite of the spectrum, yo. It's that shit where you help motherfuckers that you will never know ever in your life. You will never meet the people that you are helping. That's that kind of shit that I fuck with.
And we definitely on this show are going to applaud that nigga all day long for the shit that he's doing when it comes to this type of shit.
Well, it's the grunt work. It's the grind. It's the grunt work. It's the actually, even though it was Jay-Z, small headline, okay? Small headline. In comparison to all the other headlines and the headlines that we don't cover on this show.
Are we not going to talk about Will and Jada?
The booty of the month.
Oh, Will Smith is hip-hop.
Well, that's exactly right. You know what I'm saying? I passed two dozen Will and Jada huge headlines and shit. You know what I mean? I'm like, but we don't cover that type of shit on our show.
We don't care about Jada?
I mean, come on, B.
She not hip-hop.
You know what I'm saying? Look. What else was I? It was just a whole litany of just things that is just like, wow, yo. Again, trying to find reasonable topics to cover. But anyway, that whole topic is way at the bottom somewhere in small letters and shit. You know what I mean? So, yeah, again, congratulations, yo. And you know.
Shout Jay-Z. Out to Yo Gotti, too.
Oh, man. Yo Gotti on that, too. Meek Mills, that whole team over there, kid.
Yeah. Yo Gotti.
So that's what's up. Actually, and you know, real talk, you see what Hov doing, though, right?
What's he doing?
See Hov on that mentor. You know, how he got Yo Gotti and Meek Mill on that younger, you know, picking some guys mentor. to to mentor. You see what Hov doing, right?
he's got a super team over there. He's got a lot of niggas that he's got under his umbrella.
All right. Next topic on Hip Hop Digest is the break in the movement. Okay, I'm gonna try and get in and out of this topic without getting in trouble. All right, and that goes for you too, especially you, Swerve.
Oh, wow.
A break in the movement. Yeah, let's try not to get in trouble here. All right. So generally, what happens, especially in society as a whole, you have generational differences, okay? We highlight that every fucking week, okay? This is generational differences. This is a Hip Hop Digest. We are older. We have art generational differences, strictly art generational differences with our younger brothers, okay? And I highlight that by saying that when it comes around, it's been done, especially in the African-American community, in a lot of different ways, and it manifests itself in a lot of different avenues. And before I go on to break the movement, let me say, and I think I might have said this, if I didn't say it on the last show, I said it after the last show, but I'm going to say it again. I am thankful and grateful and appreciative of all the young guys out there who are in their 20s, who are in their 30s, you know, late teens, you know, mid 30s, who are out there on the streets risking, you know, their life, risking their freedom, you know, to benefit us, but not even me, because what they're doing in the streets now, Black Lives Matter, the whole deal, is going to benefit my grandkids, okay? Because I'm going to be gone when this really starts to benefit my grandkids. And so let me thank you, and let me say how much I appreciate you. And that my example is that if we're riding in the car, and I got a guy who's 20, and I got a guy who's 30, the 20-year-old, he going to want to hear Migos. I want to hear that on the radio. The 30-year-old guy going to want to hear Drake. I want to hear that on the radio. I want to hear Public Enemy. But if we get pulled over by a cop, fuck what's on the radio. All three of us got a problem. All three of us are black men and got pulled over by a cop who may be ready to do murder, to kill any one of us or all of us. So, yes, we are connected. Huh?
Yeah, it's bigger than music.
Bigger than the music.
It's bigger than hip-hop.
So, with all that being said, what we disagree on is largely art, okay? But that don't mean shit when it gets right down to the brass tacks, okay? And I say all that to say, because this sets up the next topic, Break the Movement, okay? Break the Movement consists of two individuals, what I'll call establishment guys, Charles Barkley and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Charles Barkley gets on again, once again, social media, and said how disappointed he was at a number of people, athletes, actors, et cetera, DeSean Jackson, Steven Jackson, Ice Cube, Nick Cannon, to name a few. The same type of thing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar wrote in an op-ed saying that, you know, he is surprised at people, Malcolm Jenkins, again, DeSean Jackson, all the others, Steven Jackson, Ice Cube, Nick Cannon, Dwayne Wade, you know, who gonna turn a blind eye specifically to anti-Semitism. Now, Steven Jackson obviously had some harsh words to say. All right. This is kind of par for the course. You gotta expect this, because largely, a lot of those guys, not all of them, a lot of those guys are on the street level. A lot of those guys are the young lions, you know, risking, okay? Barkley and Kareem are job establishment guys, all right? It's the same way, you know, the same way that they did, you know what I'm saying? Malcolm X was seen as a street guy. Martin Luther King was seen as an establishment guy, you know, that type of thing. You know, Stax Records was seen as underground. Watch Stax. You know, Motown was seen as establishment. You know, we've seen this, and it plays out in a lot of different ways. You know, and I'm more familiar with how the art plays plays it. You know what I'm saying? They did it to Louis Armstrong, you know, Miles Davis and them, you know, did it to Louis Armstrong, you know. So Charles Barkley and them getting on them about that. And I understand why they got on them about that, because they're establishment guys and they're hearing it from their Jewish colleagues. So they got to go out and represent. They got to. All right. Now, I would be, or we would be on the Hip Hop Digest remiss if we did not say that anti-Semitism, that's some bullshit, though. That's some bullshit. All right. But you got to look at, and I think to me, the mistake that Barkley and Kareem made, that you got to look at that these guys, not all of these guys, all right? I don't know what Nick Cannon was on, you know what I'm saying? I get it, you know what I'm saying? I don't know Ice Cube was on, you know what I mean? They already got issue beef with Ice Cube going all the way back to the Sunrise to take a line from out of Scarface. So, but a lot of these other guys, the young guys, that's where there's no mentorship. That's where there's nobody that's older saying, look, son, let me pull your coat a little bit. Not that that's going to change any opinions, but at least it may give the kids some pause.
But you know what else is a part of that equation is you got to find the young ones that are willing to be mentored.
That's real. That's real. That's real.
So, it you know, it's easier said than done.
Oh, no doubt. But, no doubt.
But it can be done, and it is being done.
No doubt. No doubt. I'm just saying that it depends on, I think, how you come off, you know what I'm saying? And I only say that to say because that's how it looks like a lot of times on the Digest. A lot of times we on the Digest, fuck these young niggas, they can't rhyme. And everybody like, oh, yo, you can't do it like that. Yo, you can't do it like that. I'm like, yo, either the niggas can rhyme or they can't.
Right.
Okay. I mean, but again, that's just art. And that's where the similarities stop. Here, this is a little bit more multi-complex, and I'm not trying to boil it down to something that is easy, that these guys can be more like a Shannon Sharp. Now, Shannon Sharp, pull your coat a little bit. You're going to be a little bit more, you're going to be a little bit more apt to listen to how, because of how Shannon Sharp carry it.
Right.
You know, versus a cat like Don Lemon trying to pull your card. He'd be like, get the fuck out of here, Holmes.
Yeah. You're right. It is what it is.
Yeah. Well, I only got one thing to say about this whole thing, and it's pretty much aimed at Nick Cannon. On the fact that he's on a large platform. And I'm not just talking about the Sirius radio. I'm talking about he's all on TV, all over everything. He's doing all kinds of shit, all kinds of deals here, there, and everywhere. And for him to have let himself get led down that road to where he ended up saying the shit that he said and making the comments that he made was foolish on his part. And either naive, ignorant, or just plain didn't give a fuck. I don't know which one it was, or a combination of all of them. But he has got too much to lose to be dealing with a guy like Professor Griff. Now, Professor Griff, we already know how he feels and the type of things that he likes to say, and how he feels about Jewish people and things like that. But for Cannon to get himself wrapped up in all of that, I don't know why he said that shit. Actually, you should fire the motherfucker, whoever brought him on the show, because that's the snake, because they set your ass up. But I don't understand how he could have put himself in that position.
Yo, can I get in? Because I'm baffled right now, and I got to tell you why, because you may have forgotten, but I told you a while back that I've been in communication with Professor Griff to get him on here. Remember? Yes. And his schedule just wouldn't fucking work for us.
Oh, I remember
so we
that.
Couldn't get him on, right? That's part one. So I wasn't being a snake. I was like, this is an opportunity to talk to fucking one of the members of Public Enemy.
Talking about that.
Right.
That's not the snake part. The snake part is to get somebody on there with a guy that is Cannon's level, and a guy like Cannon who probably don't even know who the fuck Professor Griff is. Like, guys like us, we know Professor Griff. We know Public Enemy. We know what they're about. They was bringing him on because this Black Lives Movement is going, and a guy like Griff is down with that. They'd been better off bringing Chuck D on, who would have kept it more down the center and would have never went and veered off into that anti-Semitism shit.
Right now, to me, and this is no disrespect, but I'm saying, to me, you sound like an old Negro spiritual, and that's that old Negro spiritual shit that'll keep us in the same place.
If
$60 million man Nick Cannon wants to fucking express his opinion, which I challenge either of you to tell me the lie after, but whatever the fuck it is, if he is willing to fucking say what he feels like, then I support that, just like the fuck we get to say what we feel. I don't give a fuck what
Nick Cannon could say whatever the fuck he wanted to say.
But I'm just saying he risked a lot to say that shit.
Hold up. See, I think you missing Kurt G's point. A lot of times it's the other way around. Really, I'm going to break that all the way down. Nick Cannon, on a lot of levels, is a Herb nigga. And he got Griff up there trying to boost up his bona fides and shit. That type of shit. Oh, I'm gonna have Griff up here, and I'm gonna start looking official to the movement, okay? And Job didn't know what the fuck he was fucking with. See, you're right. It's different. Griff come on the Hip Hop Digest show. We know who the fuck Griff is. We know what we dealing with. Your boy like Nick Cannon, he can look. If that's what he believe, then guess what? He gonna suffer the financial consequences of what he believe, and that's cool.
$60 million ain't suffering.
Me, look, I don't give a fuck on that line either, but I'm just telling you, I'm telling you, a cat like Nick Cannon is one of these cats who's trying to look a certain way. And I'm going to tell you how that proves it. Because you know what he said right after Viacom and them niggas dismissed him? Oh, the motherfucker black community let me down. Nigga, what the fuck you talking about, son?
You always say grandkids will enjoy the work of right now.
No doubt.
Okay, so that's work, nigga. I don't give a fuck. Now you say Nick Cannon is a herb nigga. I don't give a fuck about Wildin' Out. I don't give a fuck about none of that Mariah Carey shit. But if this dude is in his, I'm no fucking judge. I'm only looking at what I see and calling what I see. And if this motherfucker who ain't pulled a fucking Charles Barkley ever, does he have some goofy shit or whatever? Fucking, yo, B, this could literally be an incredible moment for progression. Just because it's a motherfucker like Nick Cannon that nobody would have fucking expected to be on this shit. I'm not a fucking Nick Cannon fan, boy, or none of that kind of shit. But I'm gonna respect what I see, Cannon. But I didn't care about the record in the video he made after George Floyd. But I do know that fucking Nick Cannon was doing shit before this. Right? So what upsets me with Nick Cannon is the next day apologizing. Fuck that apology. If they can prove that you lied or told some or said some ridiculous shit, then you a herb. But
regardless of that, I'm just saying,
some hip hop shit right now, B. It's bigger than that.
B, it's not even a matter of hip hop. The point is, this is what I'm saying. No matter the money you generate, the matter when it gets right down to it, okay, B, this whole shit is going to play out the same way, okay? If these motherfucking crazy-ass white folks are going to get up there and either do stupid shit and stay stupid shit and then they lose their jobs or get fucked up in the game, guess what? If Nick Cannon is going to get up there and he don't have enough sense to be like, oh, Professor Griff, jive on that. Let me go ahead and let me go ahead and just do what I gotta do to keep my business ventures in a certain way. Unless he's saying, fuck it, I'll risk everything for the opinion, then that's cool. But trust me, if he was doing that the next day, as you said, he wouldn't have apologized. And number two, he wouldn't have said the black community let me down because they didn't run to my aid. Again,
we live in a fucking clown and cancel society. That's where the fuck we are, B. Because unlike us that have real fucking lives outside of social media is that shit, B. And you either getting canceled or clowned, my nigga. Nobody's talking about Jay-Z and what the fuck he did. Niggas is clowning Will Smith. All this other bullshit. But B, listen to me. Please, at some point, this is going to hit you. What Nick Cannon did, regardless of why you think he did it, that's going to help your grandchildren, B. It's going to help your grandchildren. Nick Cannon is one of them. What do you say? The whitest white man or the whitest black man. Nigga, Nick Cannon all up on Fox.
I'm not even Nick putting.
B, you know what? Listen. No, listen. Nick Cannon was like the head of a fucking division at Nickelodeon, B. And since he was like 17 years old. So don't think that he ain't seen and been a part of some fucked up shit out here in Hollywood. And maybe now him, whatever the fuck reason, maybe he made enough money, maybe he woke up one day and said whatever, but I am not mad at him for saying, okay, well, we gonna have Professor Griff on here. Unless he said some crazy shit.
Okay, so A, number one, the elephant in the room is that we're not talking about, number one, what Griff said and what Cannon's response was. See, we're not talking about that. And so I'm just telling you, again, and I ain't even off that motherfucking Kareem and off that Barkley shit. I'm just telling you that I'm just saying, if you off that anti-Semitism shit, you can run it all you want to
what
in the end, it's not about.
Did you listen to what was said in that interview?
No, I did not. So at that point, that's what I'm saying. I can't comment on. I'm only commenting on what I know Nick Cannon said after the fact. An apology and talking about the black community let him down. Now, I don't have the facts, and that's why I'm saying we're sort of dancing around the biggest elephant in the room about what was said while Griff was on the show.
And I'm all right with that.
All right. And so if Nick Cannon was on that anti-Semitism shit, guess what? He's going to get fucked up.
Please listen to the interview yourself.
But I'm saying if he wasn't on it and they trying to run him, then I understand. Okay. Then that's a whole nother game. If he wasn't on it.
He absolutely risked being Kaepernicked. He absolutely risked it. You can't say nothing about a certain segment of humanity. All right? Because that's the way I see it. We fucking human. I don't give a fuck what color or what that shit. We human, right? But there's a certain segment of humanity that you can't say nothing about. Or you will be canceled.
Well, be that's called power.
And
that's
power.
That power that black people talk about a lot. That's that power that we always dream about having, that big dream about having our own banks and having our own stores and having our own communities and having our own this and that.
And how does that happen?
That shit, just we don't have that. We in our communities, we have a crab in the barrel mentality.
Boom,
we have a hate each other mentality.
Bingo, Kurt G. Right.
So we don't have a rabbi to go down and fix all our problems. If we got an issue with each other, we don't go to the rabbi and fix it. We shoot each other up.
Yep. And that's kind of be what we're doing. And I am not going to sit here and shoot up Nick Cannon unless listen, anybody listening to the Hip Hop Digest show right now, this is not what the fuck I'm saying. I'm just using it for an example. If that nigga had said, fuck Jews, I'd be like, yo, You was wilding, B. But it wasn't nothing like that. Not even close. Not even close. What he said was kind of. And I'm, what do you call that shit when you say something that really wasn't said exactly? But basically he was saying that people of color are the real Jews and a little bit going down that lane. He wasn't saying it. I mean, you know, the shit that everybody's joking.
So basically, he wasn't off that Adolf shit.
Oh fuck though.
No. Okay. All right.
This is the problem though. Here's where the problem comes in at. It all comes into perception, and in the fact, in perception, when perception meets power, and perception has power, that's your problem. See, if you sound like you're being anti-Semitic, and you sound. And they that way, and they taking it that way. Guess what?
Yeah,
whatever
yeah.
you said, and whatever, however they took it, that's what you said.
Yep. Yeah.
Even if you didn't there say it, they said you said it. You said it.
So knowing that, Nick Cannon still ran that show. Right. So how can I look at that and be like, you dumb motherfucker?
Oh,
I'm looking at it like our grandkids are going to benefit from that.
B, I'm not looking at him like he a dumb cat. I'm looking at him.
No, I didn't look at him as
nah. But I'm just saying, to me, where Nick Cannon, to me, where it went left for me is when he coming out and instead of being, as they want to call it, a G, okay, he want to talk about the support he didn't get. Or this, that, and the other thing, huh?
And he did not get the support.
But I'm saying, but be a G on it then, okay?
Yeah,
if this
doubt,
is
no
what
doubt.
You deep down believe, it don't matter. Be a G and stand on that.
We on the same page, just in a different paragraph. I swear to you. Because he should have never apologized. Never.
Okay, and see, that there it goes. To me, if he meant that, like he wanted it to mean it, you know what I'm saying? Then stand on that, B.
Right. I will agree with you 100 on that.
Okay. That's all I'm saying. Whether like you said, that Kurt G really with the point, it really got ties it up really nicely. You know what I'm saying? And to really to get out of this topic, and hopefully we got out of this topic without getting in trouble ourselves.
right.
It reminds me. No, it just reminds me of that one cat who was listening to our show who had a problem with us discussing the Ice Cube Jerry Heller. Okay? And I told that cat to call me because he was having so much trouble because, again, like Kurt G was saying, because to him it sounded like we were anti-Semitic, even though we are only reporting that Ice Cube had a problem with Heller. And maybe Ice Cube had a problem with Heller being Jewish, but that was the story. Okay? That was how the story went. Okay? But to him, it's like, oh, I'm not listening to the show because every time you gotta talk about that, I hear this, oh, that Jewish. But that was Ice Cube's feeling about the situation. So anyway, to get out of that story, this kind of reminds me of that only in that way, in the fact that to him, it didn't matter. What came out of our mouths to his ears was anti-Semitic.
That was the perception.
That was the perception.
And what he heard,
okay,
us
even
say.
Though the topic was Ice Cube had a serious problem with Heller. Okay, and you know, Cube wasn't cutting no cards.
No, none.
You know what I mean? So, and this is the situation right there. So, again, you're right. Maybe we are in the same situation. I'm just saying that. Look, Nick Cannon, if you on that heavy. If you and Griff on that like 1,000, then be about it. Don't you apologizing and then the next day talk about you didn't get support. Like B, you was on that 1,000. That means you gotta spearhead that.
Right. You can't expect other people to have your feelings and to feel what you feel. If that's how you felt and you was on that Griff shit, because we know Griff ain't apologizing for shit. Griff feels how he feels, and he says what he says. And
all day.
So if you on it, then be on it. Stay in that lane. That's why I said I didn't know if he was either ignorant of the fact of who he had on the show, or he just didn't give a fuck. But like I said, if he was ignorant, he'd need to fire the nigga that put Griff on the show, because he set your ass up.
I know, real quick. I know we talk about a lot of shit about how we won't get to see shit in our lifetimes, and it is fucked up that we won't, because we fucking deserve it. But at any time when a motherfucker puts himself at risk, including Colin Kaepernick, Colin Kaepernick there was a longer window for him to be great, right? So he has more respect versus Nick Cannon, who had that moment and then had a couple hours and said, well, I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? Colin Kaepernick never said he was sorry. He was just like, no. He was just like, fuck, I want to play football. At the end of the day, I'm here for brown and black people getting beat by police and brutalized, but I want to play football at the end of the day. So that was still not on the same level as Nick saying what he said, which was not wrong. I can't wait till you hear it. It was not wrong. But he apologized. So that's why I got back. It's like, why the fuck are you apologizing?
Okay. All right. That's real. No doubt.
I was mad with that. Now, like I said, if he had said some ignorant shit, yeah, fuck them Jews burning in them gas chambers. If he had said some shit like that, I'd be like, right? But it wasn't like that at not even close. He was just basically saying, the real Semites are people of color.
Now,
so we can't be anti-Semites.
Okay. Now, check it out. Check this out. Right or wrong, it don't matter. Okay, I'm going to say my next statement because I'm going to give a shout to G. Rightly or wrong, it don't matter, because Jewish folks now who are representing their interests is telling white folk, black folk, Asian, or anybody else who on that shit, no.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Absolutely. But at the same time, let me take it back in time again. When white folks was like, fuck them Jews, faggots, and niggers. Right?
Niggas is still on that shit.
Right, but, well, Jewish motherfuckers, their shit just happens to vibrate.
They be on that flip-flop, no doubt. I get you, right.
But at that time, again, Nick Cannon is nowhere near Malcolm X or Martin Luther King. But in the time that them niggas was living, risking their fucking lives, not their fucking career, their lives, by doing what the fuck they did, give some credence to Nick Cannon, who at the there ain't too many motherfucking black people that's at the level of Nick Cannon. That's real talk.
Me, I'm not.
Right?
Again.
Wait. I'm talking about financial. So for him to risk that. Again, I'm only bringing up the comparison because of if you give the difference for the time of 1968 and 2020, it's totally a different level. But for one to lose their career and life and all that kind of stuff, a la Colin Kaepernick, Nick Cannon, nigga, he blows Colin Kaepernick away as far as the financial part, which why I'm like, damn. But at the same time, I'm like, this motherfucker apologized though. See, nigga, you don't need to be bought.
And see, but see, that's the whole thing, B. See, to me, you know, you can even admire Nick Cannon on that level. You can admire that, okay? But that's all the fuck you gonna do, because at the end of the motherfucking day, Nick Cannon, unlike Griff, you didn't hear Griff out there apologizing for that.
Nope.
Okay, and Kurt G said that. If Nick Cannon was really about it, you know, about it, like Master P about it, he'd have stood by it. And that's why I said, see, a guy like Nick, you giving him a lot of credit for risking a lot of shit. I'm of the opinion, which differs from yours, but I'm of the opinion a cat like Nick, it was always one of these cats who was looking for a certain amount of credibility. Let's just call it street cred, just for the sake of conversation. He was always looking for that, because you're right. Nick has yo, a long career in television, crazy money. I mean, like you said, running Nick, you know, division, that whole shit, okay? But it was always seen as, oh, this nigga, he one of them. And he was always looking for that. So, in my opinion, he didn't have anybody to, again, somebody to counsel him and be like, yo, you got Professor Griff, so let me tell you what Griff on, so you know what's good. So you go into this totally with your eyes open. Griff, a type of guy, he's the type of guy that can go into a room and have everybody in that bitch signed up for the FOI next, you know, because that's how Griff is. And he's not apologizing for that. Griff does what he does. And I'm saying to you that you can admire Nick Cannon for that, but somehow I don't believe that Nick Cannon really understood that shit. That's why he ended up apologizing, and that's why he ended up lashing out at, again, the black community didn't support me. Like, there was a whole bunch of, sort of sounded like Monique, you know, again.
She was right, kind of, and so was he.
Well, and I'm not saying that the principal, I'm not saying they wasn't right, but I'm just saying, okay, that's the entertainer in them. That all of that, well, where's the people jumping on my, you know, putting a battery in my back and coming to my aid? If you really believe in that shit, you're doing a Steven Jackson.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
fuck
yeah.
Fuck Barkley.
Yes, sir.
And I mean that directly. He didn't say that to the black community. He didn't say that to the media. He got on the set and hit Barkley direct.
That's a home run right there. Yes, sir.
So to me, that Nick Cannon thing, that's what puts me in another frame of mind. And Nick, look, he first of all, Nick got a heart for our people. I'm not saying it might have come off like Nick may have been one of these herb niggas, but he got a heart for our people. You know what I mean? But he ain't got that
Steven Jackson heart for our people.
Well, exactly. And like you said, if somebody wanted to, like you said, it's funny that Nick Cannon had Griff on his show, and Vlad for the past 2 weeks have had Chuck D on his show, and it should be reversed.
Yeah,
it really should be reversed, because Griff is the guy who handles a guy like Vlad very well.
Yep.
Chuck D is more of a diplomat, and Chuck D would never risk Nick Cannon's position because he knows how valuable Nick is. Yeah. Griff don't give a fuck about Nick.
Right. Yeah. That's the
part that to me is not being examined.
So to get out of this thing, this is my last comment on it. But I can't imagine how many motherfuckers was looking at Martin Luther King talking about nigga shit. You off that freedom shit, you go ahead, nigga.
Oh, I'm quite sure with people looking at that nigga crazy.
Go ahead, next topic. Let's get out of that one.
Next topic on Hip Hop Digest is, speaking of civil rights, rest in peace to Cordy Tyndale Vivian. Okay, he was a close friend of Martin Luther King during the civil rights era. I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't really know anything about him other than the fact that he was a featured activist and an analyst on the civil rights documentary Eyes on the Prize, which ran from January of 1987 to February, I believe, of 87. It was a very long, I don't know how PBS was running that, but that's where I remember him, because when Swerve sent me the picture of him, I was like, oh, that's that cat on Eyes on the Prize. But anyway, if you're looking for history as far as the civil rights movement from a different lens and from the people who were actually there, a lot of the grunt workers who are actually there step by step, Eyes on the Prize is a great, great, valuable tool. It gives you a lens of history. But anyway, like I said, we're going to say rest in peace to that gentleman who was, you know, he was a friend of Martin Luther King. And I would assume that he's one of those guys who, again, in the words of modern rap, kept it G. okay? Because he didn't snitch, I guess, when King was getting it in on the road, I guess.
Yeah, there was only one that did that in his book. Yeah.
So, no doubt. All right. Next topic on Hip Hop Digest is, okay, here, I got something for you. Every now and then, I like to announce who's going to be the next man in rap. So, a young gentleman by the name of J.I., the Prince of New York, is ready to pop, okay? According to the article, which was really kind of an article slash commercial, but this gentleman, the 18-year-old, obviously from New York, has been in rap music the last 5 years officially with the help of Jamie Dupri. I guess he had a TV show called The Rap Game, I guess. This gentleman appeared on that television show at the age of 14. I don't know what it was from Jamie Dupri. You know, I'm unplugged from that type of shit. But anyway, he now is involved with the new label. Spotify is saying, fuck the middleman. We're going to start pushing our own product here. Okay? And what Spotify and Radar has emphasis is their commitment to shine a brighter spotlights on artists catching a buzz across the globe. Okay? Mr. Prince of New York himself is one of those artists. This nigga, he a light-skinned cat. He looked like a motherfucking 18-year-old fucking combo of Logic and Drake, if you ask me. But that's a whole nother story. He fits the mold of what they think a rap star is going and should be. Spotify's Global Emergent Program picks buzzing artists, okay? And they are managing this person in a tangible way of providing support in the form of prominent billboards and secure placing in their flagship playlist, Rap Caviar. I mean, what the fuck?
This nigga's already, he's already in debt already.
I'm just saying, he's getting a lot of fucking hookup and shit. He's being placed. Not that he didn't earn it. Not that niggas is like, yo, this nigga's fire. No, he's being placed on billboards. He's being placed on Rap Caviar, okay? He's being introduced in over 50 markets, okay? It said something also about setting up third-party deals for the young man, okay? Oh, here it is. And even assisting him in third-party partnerships for the artists.
Oh, yeah, this nigga's in debt.
Got him.
Hell, they got this nigga.
Got him!
Damn.
So this is Spotify. Now, I don't know who else has their fingers involved in this, in investment groups and hedge fund managers who are investing in this young J.I., I believe it is, the Prince of New York.
You're going down a road that I don't even like the way that shit sounds.
Right.
I don't even like how that shit sounds, my nigga. You talking about investment niggas and hedge fund managers? Like, what the fuck is this, trading slaves, my nigga?
Hey, B, I'm just saying, there's a lot of money behind this cat right now, yo. And
Bobby, some murder on the table.
there's a lot of money behind this cat right now, yo. So, you know, of course, the truth is told in the comments, okay? And literally, I usually just try to take the first comment, okay, after the article. And this is the first comment. It seems like an industry plant. He said he's getting on here somehow. He gets the cover of New Music Fridays on the day when Blackface released, what they said Drake, but I'm saying Blackface for the purposes of the show, put out two songs and dozens of artists that are better known has music out at the same day. So, I don't know. It's just very interesting to me. Only it just lets me know that, again, let's say this J.I. the Prince really does. Next year, he's the guy. Next year, he's the guy. and we're going to look back on this show, and you're going to have a young bull fucking arguing us down. Guy's, you know, academics type guy. Oh, no, this guy technically, man, he's better than Drake. Technically, man, Drake never could really rhyme over Afrobeat. And this guy, you know, in a year from now, he's got 4 albums out. He's rhyming over his Afrobeat. He's incredible. And we're going to be like, yo, this nigga, he was fucking shoehorned in there, nigga. They put him in like a peg, you know what I mean? A Lego piece, nigga. So they got a mini documentary. They got a mini documentary out on the cat. And you know, damn. I don't know. Actually, I do have an intro with him. And he's like, y'all want to rap? You know, there's a lot of people who want to rap. You know, you should hear him. Yo, this is incredible. I mean, look, me, I'm just saying. So when motherfuckers want to come to me, and I'm talking about your niggas, most of these cats is phony. This is what I'm talking about, me. You talk about he in debt. I'm talking about, look, the corporate backing is incredible.
B, but what lane is this nigga going to be in? Dog, are they trying to fill the Pop Smoke lane? What lane is they putting this nigga
in? I don't think he's on that Pop Smoke, yo. Because Pop Smoke is basically a Brooklyn drill, so...
What this nigga's doing. You're just introducing me to this nigga. I'm like, so what lane are they putting him in? Putting him in the Drake lane?
It seems like he's gonna be he's in a Drake lane. If anything, he'd be in that lane. At least by his appearance, he's gonna be in the Drake lane. And I guess what this reminds me of, see. You know, the young guys and young gals out there want to talk about how, you know, they are revolutionizing everything. This goes back to old record industry. This goes back to Race Records, okay, wow. To what they're doing with this cat. This is old school Race Records here.
It is.
You know, I mean, because I'm telling you, when you look at this kid, you'd be like, oh, my God. You know, what is this? You know, a Drake replacement? And you know how they used to do that, and especially in African-American music.
You know
what I'm saying? You get the next guy, and the next guy you think's going to replace the next guy. You know, remember when they teed up Rockwell, you know, to see if they was going to replace Jacko for a minute?
That was a bad move.
But I'm saying, but they teed up Rockwell.
But they had Jacko in the background on the song. Though.
They did, but they were teeing him up.
Right.
You know?
That was the leader.
Yeah, they were teeing him up. And there were a lot of guys that they were trying to get up there. You know what I'm saying? With the Jerry Curl and a certain look. Who else? Jesse Johnson was another guy that Prince tried to tee up. You know what I mean? You know, this just goes back to that tried and true Race music here. And they're pulling that out.
They on another level with this shit.
Yeah, well,
this is worldwide, man.
Yeah, I mean, they're this is crazy. You know what I mean? This is crazy. It says again, Spotify's aided buzzing artists to find leverage in the music industry and allow them to expand their fan base on an international scale. Nigga, this sound like a goddamn financial report, my nigga.
That's what they're doing, my G. That is exactly what they're doing. They are pushing this shit. And they're going to make you like who they want you to like. So they're basically taking your choice away from your ass now. They're going to put a nigga on a billboard and say, yep, that's what you want. That's who you want to be like.
Yep. This is your new guy. So remember, you heard it here first on the Hip Hop Digest. J.I., the Prince of New York. Is ready to pop.
Well, let's just hope people keep enough self-awareness to be like, fuck that. I'm a pick for myself.
Indeed. So
good luck.
I don't believe it though.
Yeah, right.
So I got one last topic on the Hip Hop Digest. Again, I don't know. I'm just gonna throw it out there to Conspiracy Brothers and see if they can come up with something. You know, quickly, a squirrel has tested positive for the bubonic plague in Colorado. According to health officials, a squirrel has the first case of the bubonic plague in the town of Morrison, Jefferson County, which is 17 miles southwest of Denver. Humans can get infected through bites from infected fleas off an animal. Cats are particularly can easily get bubonic plague. Yes. What do you think about that, gentlemen? Squirrel, bubonic plague. What's good? Come on, B. It's Conspiracy Brothers. They're quiet. I can't believe it. Usually,
this shit sound like, what was that old magazine back in the day at the fucking check stand when the alien on that bitch?
Oh, at the Star magazine or something.
National Enquirer.
Yes, that shit. That's what that looked like, a fucking squirrel, a rabbit squirrel. Yeah, that
exactly. Like, what the fuck are we supposed to say to
nigga,
that?
Nigga, you sounding crazy right now.
I thought y'all.
I mean, I'm not saying that it can't be true.
Hey, y'all cats be the first one to go into some old governmental, you know, Area 52 conspiracy shit.
You want some of that? Okay, here you go. Where them killer hornets at?
Okay. All right.
That's all I got to say.
Okay.
Fuck them squirrels, nigga.
Oh my god. What's that motherfucker? That motherfucker was like, squirrel! Squirrel!
I'm on some hot sauce, you walking in the rain, my nigga.
Squirrel, oh, squirrel.
Man, right.
Trying to get a nut.
Just trying to get a nut. Motherfucking squirrel, tell me I ain't got no bubonic plague, nigga.
Why y'all disrespecting squirrels like that, B?
Squirrel! Alright, yo, let's get into it. Kerji's world famous albums of the week.
Alright. I'm gonna start this week off by naming the albums from last week since I didn't have my shit with me. So last week was Young Black and Gifted, The Second Coming. That's Young Black and Gifted, The Second Coming. And Sky Zoo Milestones. That was Sky Zoo Milestones. And the instrumental joint was Vanilla Into the Dream. That was Vanilla Into the Dream. And for this week, we got Rob Victim, Ironside EP. That's Rob Victim, Ironside EP. And Rome Streets, Nose Candy 4. That's Rome Streets, Nose Candy 4. The instrumental joint is Drew Dave Focus. That's Drew Dave Focus. Shout out to the DMV.
All right, that's what's good. All right, well, I mean, again, I don't know, B. I hope we don't get in trouble on that, B. That topic.
You ain't saying nothing wrong.
Okay, I'm just saying. I'm
you didn't plus, go there, but again, got, I said you never know how somebody might take this shit.
We got like 13 listeners, and only that one dude 17 years ago got mad, so we ain't got no worries.
All right, that's what's good, yo. All right, so
you don't want to go down to the 15 listeners, though, B.
Well, that's true. That's true. But it ain't gonna make a difference whether I get a fucking milkshake or a fucking juice.
All right, that's what's good, yo. All right, squirrels unite. I'm out.
Squirrel lives matter, son.
Can I get a show clap? Back. Pete Rock.
What up, baby?
Show brother number one. Solo nights number two. I'm mixing mango with vodka in my Nutribullet. Just cause Trayvon couldn't, I stay hooded, way hooded. Class of 96, freshman rapper. My little bro a trapper, we can sort with flappers. The Great Gatsby, dopest nigga out if you ask me. Before Chappelle got ripped and Larry was ashy. I watched the sheets turn into dabs. Poor 20 friendly, let you burn in the lab. I'm so concerned with the pad and pens and bars. No glamour and shit. Besides, women of the year got a dick. Take money, gone, baby, gone like a stillborn. Cause I'm the future of rap, and the fady is well born. Get to the point, no goal tended, but no fucks giving. Cause I'm a rider, I love women. Trying to meet Lana Del Rey and climax inside her, and whisper in the ear, Hail Hydra.
What?
for us, Mecca. Let them take effect and the results come quicker.
Can you feel it?
The results come quicker.
Can you feel it?
The results come quick.
Too many niggas auto-tuning, singing they whole verse. Thought that was what the hook was for. Y'all need to soul search. Even got on TV wearing they whole skirt to win. Are you the type to be bisexual just to fit in? In the end, I'm 11 on a scale of 1 to 10. I spit, transcending whatever trends. I'm lit, you ain't knowing the nigga, go ask a friend.
Shit attached like a match, I'll strike again.
Right on, God. Anything less would be uncivilized. You still a Nazi if you sympathize. The revolution won't be televised. Just 15 second Snapchats. Gats and MCM backpacks. Stack a billion before Netflix and chilling. Children of the corn, watch my porn from the mirror ceiling. Glass sweat, the ice melt with J-Mo and Ginger. I creep like a motherfucking ninja.
For us, Mecca. Let them take effect and the results come quick.
Can you feel it?
The results come quick.
Can you feel it?
The results come quick.
Yeah. Rad Cash Beat Rock. Do you hear what I hear? See what I see? Rad Cash Soul on Ice Part 2.
Yeah. Hey, yo, Hush. Shit is getting real crazy out here. You know what that means, right? People want to get back to basics. They want that raw shit, that Queen shit, that Detroit shit.
Yeah. The monsters that do on Maple Street. Inmates run the asylum, better pray for peace. Who gon' save you? Not the government, the federal, the state police. Your whole sense of security is make-believe. Donning face masks and N95s. About to rock a face mask like we get 95. If the world don't pay attention, hope it ain't just locals listening. Been saying, give me 6 feet before the social distancing. Fuck around and you'll get found by local fishermen. Christening these vocals for my Uncle Hush in Michigan. So bet on Bobby, bet on probably body anybody. I'm Rockaway strong.
Detroit versus everybody.
This ain't no whack filler. This is Michael Jack Thriller. Grown man, go talk. Bitch, I'm Black Phillip. They tryna Dracula my vernacular. Got these sharks swimming in circles. Word to Mac Miller. Rest in peace, Big Proof, Jake Dilla. Pour some liquor, smoke an eighth of that straight killer. Fuck a tussle, put the money in the duffel. This that Russell Simmons hustle mixed with Motor City muscle. You suckle at the teeth, yeah, I know them titties supple. Couple knuckles to your cheek and I know your knees will buckle. I chuckle at your beef unless it comes with butter truffle. Then some bottles on the double full of bubbles I can guzzle. Plus some salad with some croutons too. And some great poupon with 2x2. Bad bitches looking like the cast of Moulin Rouge. And they're saying, we're down to ride if you want to. I'm like, shit, I'm with whatever you want to. And when I'm through on cue, I put my jacket and my shoes on too. Hit the stew and spit that Wuhan flu. Cause rappers acting like bitches now. 2 Wong Fu, yeah.
Let me tell you what we all must do. We need to organize an army that they can't get through. All my people out here yelling, we need justice. Have to demonstrate against these white cops who kill. Let's set the record straight. They ain't masculine, in fact, they're just some wannabes trapped inside a hornet's nest, attracting all colonies. Cops killing, got your priest or pastor to his knees, clutching on his crucifix in any archdiocese. The blue that sit and watch are co-conspirators who try to run the block, but you try being the prisoners. Adapting ain't your thing, so just evacuate. Me, I stroke my ego every time I go to masturbate. I'm in the kitchen with the toast, I keep the iron here. Can't deny that I am here. Duke, I am a pioneer. In Detroit, heat's required, so the fire's near. Try should be dying, lying, crying in pariah tears. We get the lion's share, run your stash. Queens get the money, long time, no cash. Tussle with this muzzle, then your funds don't last. This that trouble, time to knuckle up with chumps so trash. I'm only violent when I think I am invincible. Marks get Joe Clark, the beating off principle. I move in silence, usually, but sorry, not today. Especially when I'm with my nephew Bobby J from Rockaway. Get them roses and them razor blades. Boys to men will serenade your funeral while your mama prays. Set a blaze out to any rapper in a daze. Talking like some zombies, now we're living in the end of days. Protesting got me vexed with my fist up. They hit me with tear gas, rubber bullets that missed, Revolution now is televised. It's important, make sure that your battery life is full when you're recording.
Check better than your performance. And you're the one that's touring. My dedication's soaring above. Got the bottle liquor, then pouring in cups. I'm more than it loves. When I'm out of ignoring these lusts, of course we get bust. But your chances still slim, bitch. Fuck your big tits. I'm about hip hop and kick flips and zip. This is what we say, beast on. Call me old school, driving a 1995 great Nissan. The lease on, so I'm still paying it off. I know it's fucked up, man. I'm just praying to God. I make it through this, cause about as unusual as naked booties. Coming through your neighborhoods to take your scooters. This place can do this. Thinking he wildin' like Dave Chappelle. But while we chillin' on our own island, they raising hell. Swatches blazing now. It's sightsee like a tourist. George Fields on the beat. Mike B on the chorus. What's up? Fucking Mary,
I do.
You and Mike's a Chuck and Larry. Something scary, try to test me and your luck is very. Plus I'm very skilled in the scene. MC killing machine. With George and the Beast, I will intervene. I still isn't clean. I'm constantly getting wasted. The door I spend on drink got the economy in the spaceship. Let's face it, I don't got a problem, it's a habit. I see the homies popping a bottle, I got to have it. It's automatic, the way I spit on dope tracks. Nobody's flows match to the microphone, I'm so attached. Like an XLR, admit my stuff's the best by far. Cause I don't do a show, I do a fucking seminar. Exiled like Eminem. This place is the waiting room. If you're a woman, your father would hate me for dating you. I'm not relating to crappy here on the radio. Means my crowd ain't all that expansive. I'm barely fading through. So things I say to you, just take it and strive, yo. Now I ain't Kanye, homie, but I'ma bake it and drive slow. Girls naked in my show. We love making the fly low. With middle fingers to Jake and the FIFO. Fuck.
Prime, who would I want to play one-on-one? That list is very long. Kobe Bryant in his prime, that's a good start. I don't think I lose. Other than Kobe Bryant, because he steals all my moves.
Gunslinger's back, no stretch of imagination. What the game's been missing as far as my observation. Roll through Dayton on some Dayton's Carolina blue whip. Blowing purple gold on my wrist, I skipped the college trips. They say they sleeping on you, right good, I tuck them in. Then I'ma place the alarm clock above the rim. Spit gym stars like birdie, there's no immunity. But preparation and luck leads to opportunities. Y'all having talks of the GOAT, there's no debate. Pressure bust pipes separate good from being great. That's why there's no difference from 24 or 8. Niggas talk dirty, take the forfeit off my jersey. This young bull's a wizard with younger competition. Don't try to bullshit him when facing the opposition. I play my position right on the perimeter. We had the same coach, but ain't have the same tenure. Like,
Kobe Bryant shooting and hitting with Michael Jordan in his face.
getting his first points of the game.
Beautiful screens. He leveled Michael off right there. Michael did not get his hand up.
This flow is ethereal, ether and stereo, or something like a shroom trip. Witches on eight broomsticks, bitches on my pool stick. Lucky like an eight ball. Shorty snip a face off, make it hard to remain calm. Blood in the water, you tuned into a great white. Do a show or solo the precinct in the same night. A dumb lad just so the fast could follow me. Got y'all laid out in patterns like sacred geometry. It's been instilled in this field, this shit is real. Either come on with my quill or I go out on my shield. Piercing through the looking glass, in the fight I took the jab. Don't know what you took me as, last shot against the Jazz. Fuck a push off, y'all niggas push overs. Drop 60 points on your squad before it's over. Train my hands for war, ain't even pull a muscle. It don't matter if you Joe Ingles or Byron Russell, motherfucker.
Once you got out there, you and Kobe going one-on-one, it got exciting.
Well, I mean, he's coming at me. I mean, I think that's the approach. I think he's being very, very aggressive. And, I got to defend myself, you know.
Only a few times students become the teacher. This be the heat seeker, something like a buzzer beater. They say my brilliance is madness, but I got this. But even Holmes needed the Watson. Jordan needed the Pippen. Bryant needed the O'Neal. So real, sometimes you need a counterpart to close deals. I'm building on my legacy, homie, it's more to prove. How could you ever be better? You steal all my moves. I came in this motherfucker to lead legendary. Jersey in the Raptors, do whatever's necessary. Gotta get my reps up, stay alone in the gym. The job ain't finished, I'm celebrate every win. There's five fingers of death, but I got six chips. We taking pictures before the game, but y'all in deep shit. Men and women lie, they can even off the numbers. Tears in my eyes when I think of my little brother, like.
You know, I truly hate having discussions about who would win one-on-one. You're a fan saying, hey, Kobe, you beat Michael one-on-one. I feel like, yo, what you get from me is from him. I don't get five championships here without him. Because he guided me so much and gave me so much great advice. He's my big brother.
In the cut, I'm going for heads, leave you for dead, folding MCs like bedspread, and you ain't had this much milk since you was breastfed, gallons and quarts for sport, I bust bubbles on the double, destroying these fools who wanna give me trouble, ball with stubble, 6 feet, women be loving it, brothers be digging and sticking, but I be shoving it, ready and low with fat tracks from loop kits, doing my thing since 16 and 86, hey yo, saying that the West ain't it, nigga, I'll smack you in your mouth for that shit. Let me show you what I claim. I'm doing my thing, but everybody out in Cali don't gangbang. You better open up them mics and get out my face. Give me some space. Better break out them old knives. You better run for the crib. Cause running your jibs, I'll send you home with a broke back and cracked ribs. Microphones in control. So ready, explode. Motherfuckers need to punch up the flex code. Heaven forbid I rip
kids get their face blowed. Bring them in packs and I can rip them by the caseloads. Ready to explode on contact for that contract. Flash these lyrics and ready for mic combat. Who wanna step to get a rep playing double jet? Me and my man be on these tracks set to intercept. Mass confused, hit your fellas off with bad news. Tell them you tried but I just blew you out your damn shoes. Here's this mic, you can phrase it if you need to. Should've been there when your brother really needed you. It's too late, had to blast off like 38. Food for thought, but don't be eating off no dirty plates. I keep it clean and always on the up and up. Nigga, you soft and your rhymes need to toughen up. No gun chatter on the platter, cause it doesn't matter. Me and the wolf collaborate just to make it fatter. You better scatter like the roaches with the lights on. I tell these niggas, don't you bother turning mics on. Going deep like quarterbacks on they long throw. And time waits for no man, label stones throw. The LP in 97, you'll be seeing me. Gradual shots to your knot, got you seeing three. I'm running rhymes while the clock is steady running time. Crab MCs, get in your blocks and start running line. Coming in thirds, brother shouldn't say another word. Kicking your rhymes, but they was verses already heard. Give me respect, it be the Raz with the triple threat. Smashy track, cause already know what's coming next. So I predict that all these brothers gonna be riding dicks. Break out the axe because it's time that you get 86. Playing these scrubs in nightclubs like they legendary. I'm first class and everybody else is secondary. But don't you worry, all these brothers got your vision blurry. Ready to fix your cataracts with the fattest tracks. Keep it intact with tight screws, roll with tight crews. And now you missing and your face is on tonight's news. So pay your dues, don't nobody make it overnight. You heard the single and you thought that it was over, right? No, cause I can do it to you every time. Me and peanut butter wolf got a running line.